This is Positive Outcomes, a podcast for the P&O community. Thank you for joining us. I'm Simon Beals, your host for this episode. We have a great show for you today. Kelly Nolan of Healy & Weber is with us to discuss rethinking outcomes based on patient needs. Kelly Nolan has been in the orthotic device industry for over 20 years in various capacities and has been with Healy & Weber for over 5 years as their director of lower extremity products. Thank you for coming on, Kelly.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm glad to be here.
So, Kelly, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself and kind of about your journey that brought you to this point with Healy & Weber.
Okay. Well, since I'm old, I'm not going to go way back because we don't have that much time. But I guess initially, my beginnings were in the clinic. I spent 11 years working in a physical therapy clinic as a therapist and a trainer, you know, working through all the different types of extremities rehabilitation. We also did a little bit with the New Orleans Saints at the time on their rehab. And one of the things that I kind of noticed when I'd go to meetings and everything was that with the people that I ran into, a lot of them didn't use a lot of the stuff that we actually use as ancillary stuff to kind of complement what we were doing in rehab. And so that kind of inspired me to kind of go to the sales side of things and actually start going out and teaching and educating, you know, clinicians on, you know, the benefits of, you know, bracing on patients while they're going through rehab to, you know, just enhance their outcome. And over the years, it ended up that I ended up picking up the DonJoy line and was a rep for them for 6 years. Then I was recruited to come over to the Bledsoe company as their product development and product manager. And I was there for 12 years and went through, you know, quite a few different products there, developing everything from, you know, post-ops, OAs, all those types of products. And then eventually, you know, Bledsoe merged with Breg, and I was with Breg for another 2 years. And again, product development and introduced a lot of new products to their arsenal. And now I'm at Healy Weber. And as you said, I've been here for 6 years. You know, one of the things that I think just my clinical background and just the knowledge of all the different products that I've actually helped create or been on in the process of building have always really benefited when looking for a brace selection. That way, you know, the outcomes are always better when you have the patient in the right product, the one that's going to benefit them the most, the ones they're going to be more compliant with.
Absolutely. And I absolutely will kind of speak up. Since we started working with Kelly and Healy & Weber, one of the nicest things that's available to us as the distributor and to our listening audience as clinicians is Kelly as a resource. So having somebody with that clinical background that's been in the industry for such a long time, but also has that intimate knowledge of product, that's a great resource for us. And on more than a few occasions, I've received a call and transferred that call on to Kelly and said, hey, we have a patient, they present this way. You know, what do you think? What do you have that would work for that patient?
Yep.
So let's kind of begin kind of a little bit more general. So a lot of our listening audience is likely to be unfamiliar, certainly in Canada, with Healy & Weber. So can you give us a bit of an overview of actually Healy & Weber as a company?
Well, it's a family-owned company. The two founders, John Healy and Jim Weber, between the two of them, they have almost 100 years worth of orthopedic and sports medicine experience. They partnered together back in 1992 and formed Healy & Weber. And we're a manufacturer of orthopedic supports and splints and braces. So it's all your ancillary products that if you fall down and get hurt, we got something for you. And the thing is kind of interesting because I've been with the big companies where they're not very personal. John and Jim are very passionate about it. They're very involved still. And always willing to, you know, give their knowledge and experience on building products and how things work. And so it's been a very pleasant experience, you know, being here.
Fantastic. I know we had Jamie McMillan as actually one of our first podcast guests and really kind of focused in on the upper extremity Healy & Weber product portfolio. So now we're looking at, you know, specifically at the lower extremity products. You have a very broad portfolio. How many lower extremity products are within the Healy & Weber portfolio?
If you broke it down to like each individual design, there's like 38 different products. Now we have it broken down into 7 kind of major families. Like if they were getting in our catalog, there'd be the global OA, then the hinged knee braces, patellofemoral, kind of broken down into those kind of categories. But there's quite an assortment because as we all know, every patient's not the same and every patient's not going to be the one brace is not going to be the best brace for that patient. And so we want to make sure that we have the best brace for that patient. So we have a little bit of variety.
Fair. I always like to consider our role as kind of filling our clinicians' toolboxes with as many tools at their disposal that we can possibly come up with. As like you said, every patient is different and not every product is going to be suitable for every patient. So when we look at a portfolio, I mean, as broad as Helium Weber with that number of products, why should our clinicians look to Helium Weber? What is it about the Helium Weber portfolio that, you know, should really have our clinicians kind of looking there to see what products are available and could be suitable?
All right. Yeah, the probably the first thing that as a clinician, the one thing that I always look for is what's the best, you know, product for my patient. But I also want to make sure that it's going to last the duration of their injury. I want to make sure that it's treating their, you know, pathology as, you know, best as possible. And, you know, just when I, since I do have some experience with other companies, you know, one of the things that the other companies had was like a return ratio of products that had broken in the field that came back. And a lot of those companies ran in anywhere between 4 to 6%. So if you buy 100 products, you're going to have 4 or 6 that are bad. And if that goes to a patient and it breaks and the patient comes back, they're not going to be happy with the product. They're not going to be happy with you. You have to spend additional time taking care of that patient. So I want to have a lot of confidence in that product. You know, one of the things that we give our information on returns and everything else, we have one for every 10,000 products go out the door, go bad. You know, it's such a small percentage. It's so much less than 1% that when something does have something minor, and usually it's like a Velcro, maybe a pile wears out because they've cycled it so many times because it's so old. The people are always kind of laughing when they call us because they go, we've never had anything go bad. So as a clinician, the one thing I want to do is I want to make sure I pick a product that I have confidence in that's not going to fall apart, you know, shortly after, you know, I dispense it to the patient. And when I was with the other companies, one of the things that we always did was we always tried to, when somebody asked us about a product, usually they were saying, hey, we have a Helium Weber product. Can you guys make one similar to that? And on those companies, you know, they would start the process of trying to copy the product. And unfortunately, what they would do is they'd look at what we made the product, what Helium Weber makes the product out of, and they go, wow, that's an expensive product, or that's a really, can we go down a tier or two or three? And ends up happening is that they're making something that's very inexpensive, that's not really durable, that's not going to last. And they don't do all the little detail things that we do to make sure that the brace lasts. Just as an example, on some of our hinged knee braces, our ligament knee braces, one of the biggest complaints that people have is that tear out through the top of the pocket where the hinge assembly is in. And what we do on ours, because we never have that problem, is first we have Velcro inside the pocket that keeps the hinge assembly from pistoning up and down. So it's not putting excessive pressure on the top or the bottom of the pocket. Then we have the pockets reinforced. And then on top of that, there's another reinforcement on top of that. So there's basically three layers of protection on the top and bottom of those stays, which are really high wear areas also that, you know, just from wear and tear will sometimes wear them out. We triple reinforce the pocket just so it doesn't tear, so the patient doesn't come back with a broken brace. So, you know, that's probably the biggest thing is that if you're looking for something that's very, very durable, built extremely well, and is going to definitely last the duration of the injury and well past it, that definitely come our way.
So take me through kind of a product development cycle when you're bringing something to market or you have something in market that you're going to make an upgrade or a developmental change to. What's the process? What does that look like?
It's twofold. One of them is an existing product that we have. And, you know, we are always taking feedback from people in the field. We have a very loyal following of physicians that use our products. And when we see them at trade shows or if they have something that comes up that they have an idea of, can we improve this product by just doing this or, you know, making some minor modifications? Because, you know, we test products a lot when we send them out to get them ready for the launch. But in the field, you know, they get exposed to a lot of different things. And sometimes something may show up that needs to be addressed. So the existing product, bring it to the committee, they look at it, and, you know, if it's warranted, we make the changes, you know, go through the process of implementing a change. The other thing that will happen is we are always in touch with all of our vendors, and every year they come to us with all new types of materials, you know, more breathable, you know, more elastic. As you know, the perfect brace for a patient sometimes is invisible. and does everything right. Unfortunately, the Emperor's clothes aren't available right now. So so we have to, we're always trying to change it to improve the products. And so on the existing products, you know, we'll take feedback from the field, new materials, and then we'll put it into the pipeline for development.
Can you give us an example of something like that that you've worked on?
We're getting ready to launch a new product called the Nap 2. It's called the No Sweat Nap. We launched the Nap 2 last year. And what happened was the material that we had, we're using, was a good material, worked fine, everything, but it was a little bit dated. And, you know, cosmetically, you know, some people, you know, you have to kind of revamp things a little bit. You know, when I was a kid, chrome was the thing, and now the kids like everything black. So you have to kind of update the style. And what we end up doing is the material that we're using now on the front side is a kind of a spacer mesh non-neoprene material. And the back side is now a double knit material. So it gives you nice compression. It's a nice intimate fit to the back, to the leg. But like with the double knit added to the back, it doesn't bunch up when they bend their knee. So it doesn't inhibit range of motion. You don't get, if you had a, you know, it doesn't have a pop tail cut out. So you don't get the window edema that you would have normally. So it gives you nice even compression. So those are two new materials that we've have gone, you know, looked at for over the last year or so. And we decided to implement it into as an upgrade to that particular product.
So is material science kind of a developing element for soft good bracing?
Yeah. Yeah, there's always new materials, new stitching. I mean, every material is a little bit different, so they all stretch a little bit different. So you always want to, that's probably one of the biggest complaints that, you know, people have when they deal with multiple lines is that the brace, the sizing charts never match, you know, from one manufacturer to another. And it's because they're using a different material, has a different stretch and everything. But, you know, the biggest thing is that most athletes want to keep cool. They want to make sure that the moisture is whipped away because you don't want to get any skin maceration issues. You still want the compression because you want that sense of security, but also it helps with edema control. And they want freedom of mobility. It's hard to play a sport if you can't move your legs because the brace is slowing you down. So fabrics make a big difference on that because, you know, if we wore a brace from the 70s, which was that old heavy neoprene, and then you use some of this new lighter weight material, it's no comparison. It's like you're in a Ferrari compared to driving a dump truck.
I've heard the Ferrari to the Chevy. I haven't heard the Ferrari all the way to the dump truck.
Yeah,
I like it.
So, I mean, materials make a big, big impact on a product. And
so how can a clinician, and it's difficult to talk in general terms about this, I realize, but you know, a patient presents in clinic with kind of a knee pathology or an ankle pathology. How is the best way for our clinicians to kind of filter down and look at the elements that are kind of within each product and really kind of strive to select the product that's going to produce the best outcome?
The best way, I mean, initially, if they're not familiar with you, whoever, you know, going to the website's always nice. They have it set up under just general categories, which is, you know, upper extremity, lower extremity, spine, and pediatric. Or they can go, there's another tab that they can hit that goes to body parts so they can narrow it down to, you know, knees or ankles or, you know, wrists or shoulders or whatever. And it'll give you the, you know, the products there. And then they're usually listed based on the amount of control that they have. You know, patellofemoral is a good example where it's a very common injury. It's probably one of the most biggest complaint that most patients have when they go into the physician's office. But not everybody has a subluxing patella that has patella pain. And so we have levels of control. You know, some people may just want a basic sleeve. Somebody may need a little bit more control around the patella, you know, circumferentially around it for edema control, but they don't really have a subluxation. Then you go to braces like the Kinesio is one of our newer products that has adjustable straps, and it kind of works similar to Kinesio tape. It's got the same kind of configuration. And then the next one is the Shields, which is for somebody who has a lot more, it's more of a subluxation and patellar tilt issue. And then the final one is the Velocity PS, which is great for a patient who has ligamentous and patellofemoral components. So it's kind of set up in a progression of the simplest control to I need as much control as possible.
So I guess we could talk about that kind of range as either kind of a step up or a step down ability.
Yeah, well, sometimes step down is where one product has features or that can be removed as the patient's condition progresses. An example, like most back braces are set up that way, where you'll have sagittal panels, front and anterior, posterior panel, but as they get better, you may remove the sagittal panels first. You may get to the point where they may want to remove the abdominal panel and just have the back panel. So that steps down as their condition gets better and they get a little bit more mobility. Patellofemoral-wise, the Velocity PS is a good example because it's usually for a brace who has ligamentous and patella femoral condition. You're like a hockey player who gets slammed and has got an MCL sprain, but he's also got some patella tracking issues. And what you can do with that brace is it's initially treating both conditions, but let's say the patellofemoral gets a little bit better and they really don't need that control, that actually patella flap comes off and now it's just a hinged knee brace. So I'm still taking care of the MCL protection. So you can kind of step down as their condition improves.
And in terms of actually, once you've kind of selected that product, we certainly know that unfortunately, not everybody presents with perfect leg shapes, you know, and there are definitely some difficult to fit leg shapes, that inverted traffic cone leg, for example. How does Helene Weber kind of address some of those challenges that are commonly faced by clinicians?
Yeah, the conical shaped leg is the nemesis of all braces, just because it's, you're trying to capture the thigh that may be, you know, one or two sizes different than the calf on a, you know, it's kind of like a general scale that's out there on a tubular type of brace that the thigh might be, let's say a 20 inch thigh might have a 16 inch calf as a size range. But unfortunately, women never fall into that. Women have a tendency to have a much smaller calf than the thigh. Even your athletes, hockey players, for example, and football players, and everything else, they have a very large muscular thigh and some of them don't have much of a calf. So one of the things to accommodate those types of patients is to get the wraparound anterior closure type of brace, because now I can kind of customize the cuff to fit the thigh with the overlap, and then I can pull a brace snug to fit the calf. Usually wraparounds can accommodate a couple size difference. So if you are an extra large in the thigh, you probably can accommodate a person that may have the top end of a medium on the calf. So you get that nice shape. What's nice also about it is, since we've incorporated that double knit into the back panels, it allows that brace to kind of do that hourglass shape a little bit better. It gives a nice smooth transition where other products, if it's a heavy neoprene, for example, sometimes they have a tendency to fold and it just aesthetically, it doesn't look like it's fitting on the leg very well. And then one of the other things that we do also is on our straps, there's elastic incorporated into the straps itself. So it kind of breathes with the muscles. So when you're doing that strap around the calf, which is the primary suspension point, it allows you to really capture that calf, but you're not pulling the strap so tight that it's becoming a tourniquet. It actually breathes with them, but it keeps that strap above that calf belly, and that keeps the brace from sliding down. So between those three things, it really gives you a nice intimate fit because it's going to follow the shapes of the leg. It's not going to bridge on the sides. And if, you know, again, the other thing that you can do is always you can modify or bend the support on the side to follow the shape of the leg, and that'll even get you a little bit better fit. But the first thing I would always go to is a anterior closure design, because that's going to be the best way to fit any conical shaped leg.
So you bring up a really good point. When we've done some of our training and we're going through the features and benefits and specifics of some of the different Helium Weber products, there's always kind of a point where you describe a certain element of that brace, and kind of we as, you know, the audience or as the receiving end of the information go, oh, you know, so I always thought the oh moment, you know, oh for orthotic. But in this case, it's like, oh, I get it. That makes sense. And there have been quite a few of those oh moments as you've described certain products and certain braces and kind of adaptations that have made. I wonder if you could talk about the Zap in particular, because that was one of those elements that kind of really kind of struck me.
Well, the Zap is one of our ankle gauntlets. And you know, one of the things, it's a lace-up design. I mean, we also have one called the Rapid Zap, which is a speed lacer where you're not lacing it up each eyelet to secure the brace. But the brace it's a ballistic nylon type of material. So it's very, very durable. One thing that's really nice about it is when I worked in the clinic, the most frustrating thing that I would come across is that you'd ask the patient what size shoe they have. And, you know, they would say they were a 9, that might be a medium. Well, when I tried to put the brace on the patient, I couldn't get their foot in it because it was swollen because they're in the acute phase of their injury. So my only option would be to go to somebody else, go to the size up and get a large and put them in. But I know, you know, a period of time, the swelling is going to go down and that brace is not going to fit anymore. Well, one of the things that we do at Healing Weber is that we have a very large throat, so it allows even the large flat foot or a very swollen acute foot can fit into the right size. The lacing allows you to, you know, get the intimate fit that you need, but as the swelling goes down, the patient's still in the same brace. And when they get to doing activities and maybe they're using it as a prophylactic device, it's still the same brace. So they're not going out and having to get online and buy another one because, you know, here in the States, the insurance only pays for one. So if the brace doesn't fit and the account's not going to give a new one, they have to go buy the second one. So it's a nice design because it takes you all the way from the acute through activity. You can wear it forever. The speed lacer is nice also. It just has, some people don't like to take the time to do the lacing each eyelet going up. So it has 3 zones. So it does you have an adjustment for the forefoot, midfoot, and then the ankle. So you can tweak each zone because with some competitors, they only have a 2-zone or 2-tab pull. And what happens is usually the forefoot and midfoot are 1-tab. So when you're pulling it, you're trying to find a landing area, you end up not getting real good capture of one of the zones. One ends up getting compromised because I have to try to find a spot to actually hook that tab onto, where with our 3 tabs, I can pull the forefoot, put it one place, midfoot, pull it and put and hook it on. So they're all independent. And all these braces also come with stays. So if people have the desire to have a little bit more rigidity in the side, they have that option. And then the Rapid Zap also has a hinged assembly in case they want that. So again, we're looking to make sure we get the right brace for the right patient because everybody's got a little bit different type of injury, different type of needs. So it gives you a pretty wide spectrum of making sure you take care of the patient with what they need.
And so for the stays, those are movable, correct?
They are, yes, removable, trimmable, yes.
Okay. So when we come into now kind of into the fitting phase, so, you know, we've selected a product, you know, now it actually goes to actually kind of fitting the device to the patient. So from your experience, kind of what are some of the things a clinician should keep in mind when they're actually fitting the device to the patient?
Yeah, the biggest thing I think is that sometimes we assume that patients know something about braces. I mean, we've get into a habit since we do it all the time that it's almost, you think that some people know that when you pull a brace up the leg, that the kneecap is supposed to be in the patellar cutout. And there's people out there that don't know that. And when you show them how to put the brace on, they don't understand it or don't see that. And then unfortunately, if you don't really go through the educational component of it, you're going to see them against, and they're going to say, this knee brace is really bothering my leg. And when you ask them to put it back on, they end up having the brace where the patellar cutout is right around the patellar tuberosity. The brace is way too low. So the biggest thing I always do is just assume that the patient knows nothing at all and just take your time with them to make sure you educate them on why the doctor has ordered the brace. You know, we always have patients that come up and say, well, I don't know why I need this brace. The doctor says I need one. And, you know, if you ask them, well, when does it hurt? Why does it hurt? And you know what the diagnosis is from the prescription, you can kind of explain to the patient, well, your knee hurts because of this, and this is why the doctor's ordered this brace, and it's supposed to correct this. So they really understand that. And the other thing that I always do is repetition. I always make sure they put it on, you know, walk around, evaluate, tell me, is it better or worse? If the product has any adjustments to it, like let's say a patellofemoral brace, then you may adjust the buttress a little bit or the amount of tension on it. Have them do it because they're the ones that know what feels better or not. I can say, well, I can attach it someplace on the, you know, attachment points, but it may not be enough force. They can actually grab it and they can find out where the sweet spot is and where it gives them the most relief. And have them go through it, take it off. I used to kind of play with the product where I'd spin it around and then give it to them just to make sure that they could put it on right side up. I've had patients call saying that I got this brace and it's not working right. And after kind of trying to figure out, you know, what they're talking about, and we kind of get our own language of what the product's doing, they'd put the brace on backwards and the Lycra panel was on the front and the hole, you know, the patellar cutout was in the back, and they thought that was a popliteal cutout. So I can't emphasize enough is just take your time with them. Just make sure that explain everything as much as you can, walk them through it several times, because education is the key. If they understand how it works and why it works, they'll use the brace. And if they use the brace, that's a compliant patient, and that's going to give them a much better outcome.
And where do you see soft goods, bracing, splinting, kind of within the kind of management of patient injuries, you know, as pertains to surgery and kind of pharmacologic intervention and rehabilitation, you know, and certainly as a physiotherapist, you can speak to kind of how bracing relates in that rehabilitative perspective.
I think they complement each other. You know, I don't think bracing is going to ever permanently replace medications and surgery. I think bracing does help a lot of patients and can help a lot of patients. You know, there's every case is a little bit different. You know, like if you have a patient who's has an acute patellofemoral condition, and if you put the brace on that gives them the support that they need and everything and keeps the patella tracking right, maybe that medial complex will tighten up and to the point where the patient doesn't need the brace and they don't need to have surgery. A patient with osteoarthritis, that's a degenerative process and you're never going to be able to reverse that, but you might be able to slow it down. So again, you can make the patient a lot more comfortable post-bone surgery possibly. And also both those things, if you're reducing the amount of discomfort because of subluxing patella or controlling that leg a little bit more with OA, the medication is going to drop because they're going to be in less pain.
Any thoughts on kind of the discussion point that sometimes gets raised where an individual either doesn't want to or their clinician doesn't want to apply bracing because they have concerns of kind of muscle wasting and dependency on the brace?
There was some studies done on that. If you like, I can't quote did them offhand. It's been a while since I looked at those. But that was one of the things that a lot of people thought. It's kind of a wives' tale that they become, you know, dependent on the brace. They have muscle atrophy. They lose motor skills. And a lot of that's, you know, the way the new materials are and everything, it allows more freedom of motion. So you don't have all those, you know, urban legends of, you know, people being dependent on the brace once they wear it.
So let me pick up another element that always seems to present itself when, especially when somebody is new to a product or product line, are those patients that sit right in the center of a size. So they're kind of right between medium and a large or a small and a medium. What's your thoughts for specifically for Helium Weber, size up or size down?
Usually, if you look at our sizing chart, a lot of times there's an overlap in the sizing. Like you'll see where it'll go from 13 to 15, and then the next size up goes from 14 to 17. So if they're right at the cusp, you can kind of look at it and there's a little bit of overlap on each size. So you may go up a size because if they're right at that cutoff point at the 16, if you go to the next size up, they may be dead center of that size. So I kind of look at our sizing chart because a lot of our sizing charts have that overlap on the sizing chart itself. So like myself, I'm at the very top end of a size large, but the extra large fits me better because I'm right in the middle of the sizing. So I get a nice, good, comfortable feel or fit and everything. And also if it, you know, sometimes if I gain weight or lose weight, I'm still going to be in that same size. And if they're swelling, I'll always be in that same size.
Okay. Now, again, for those that are new to Helium Weber, what are a couple of the kind of, I guess, most recent or kind of newest or kind of products that you really like to kind of draw clinicians' attention to that are kind of new to the Helium Weber family?
Well, we have started out at the very top of the list of all of our products on the low extremity. There's some unique ones there. You know, one of them is the global knee. It was designed for patients that have early onset OA, but also end stage OA, where they don't have an option for an unloading brace. Because when you have global OA, it doesn't matter which way you push. You're just pushing them from one ditch to the other ditch. And the global was kind of unique because it kept the knee kind of in a neutral area. So you're not pushing one way or the other too much. But it addressed the patella. I mean, a lot of patients that have the end stage OA, they're walking around with, you know, this old guy with the knee flexion gait and the back of his kneecaps trashed. And that brace actually kind of maintains them in neutral. So you don't have that hard varus or valgus moment, but it actually cups the kneecap and lifts it up and puts it into the trochlear groove and kind of gives it a little bit of space between the condyles and the patella. So that patella grinding pain is reduced considerably. So the patient can have a little bit better quality of life. They may actually end up getting up, walking around, and being a little bit more mobile, so to make them a little healthier. The Nisio brace is kind of a new one that we came out last year, and we launched it just before the pandemic hit. So even with that, we've had some pretty good movement of that product. It's a very, very lightweight patellofemoral brace. As I mentioned earlier, you know, patellofemoral is probably the biggest complaint that people have going into a clinic. And a lot of times they don't have a real bad subluxation, but they have what kind of falls in the category of anterior knee pain. It's just kind of general, my knee hurts. And a lot of those patients, what they need is some circumferential support. And the Nisio brace gives you that. And they have four straps that are on the front that you can actually tension a little bit tighter. It's the one that's similar to doing KT tape or the Nisio tape. And it gives you some good compression around the kneecap, gives you some support around the kneecap. It also has a buttress on it. It's a small buttress that if you do have some slight shimmy, you can put it on either the left or right side, or you can do it inferior or superior, wherever you want the buttress. And you can actually pull those straps a little bit tighter, and it can give you a little medial lateral support. And the thing that's nice about it is the material is very see-through, and it's only 8 ounces. We built that in collaboration with Dr. Becton at the Orthopedic Clinic of St. Louis. He came to us with a concept. You know, when you're talking about new products, one of the things that we do a lot of is we get a lot of people that are collaborators, you know, doctors, orthotists, PAs, physical therapists, you name it. Anybody's got an idea for a product. And he came to us with one that said, I like that KT tape, but patients don't know how to do it. And I need something that is lightweight, low profile, you know, something that's, I deal with a lot of athletes, and I want something that's going to not inhibit the range of motion or mobility. And that's what we came up with that brace, because it's 8 ounces, very, very lightweight. Gives you some.
I'm going to put you on the spot now. Mm-hmm. And I always ask this question, and it's probably unfair, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Any insight into kind of possible new products that are coming down the pipe? Kind of anything that we should be kind of looking forward to?
Well, I kind of mentioned earlier that we do have the new No Sweat NAP is going to come out probably later on this month. It's one of our biggest movers on braces. It's a hinged knee brace that has the hinges are incorporated into a pocket because some athletics don't allow any kind of exposed metal. But it has that new, it's the one that we revamped with the new materials, with the double knit back panel and the new spacer mesh moisture wicking material on the front. So it's a nice, good looking brace that, you know, has a nice intimate fit and gives you great mobility, but also gives you great support.
Excellent. You know, and we could talk forever, but I believe that our time is just about up. And so with that, I'd like to thank you so much for listening to this episode. And I'd like to thank Kelly with Healing Weber for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure.
Of course, if you have a show or a topic for future episodes, you can email us at positiveoutcomes@orthoped.ca. New episodes are released every other Thursday at positiveoutcomes.ca or wherever you get your podcasts. Positive Outcomes is a production of Orthoped ULC in conjunction with our partners, produced by Jonathan Stone and Frederic Sauvé, and hosted by me, Simon Beals, and Jeff Newell. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.